This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Day two of Bills OTAs today, which is not open to the media today, was yesterday. We had some media with Sean McDermott. And one thing that we'll obviously spend most of today on is that James Cook is the only absentee, the only player not there. It is voluntary. And then we've got to get to Joey Bosa as well, because him already being injured is a story as well. Let's start here, though, Sal. Cook not being there, I don't know, how did you feel like McDermott sounded about it? Are you surprised even that, because even didn't you say that they don't usually give attendance at these things? So is it weird, maybe, or not weird that he kind of, you know, like right out there for everybody, like the only guy not here is James?
Yeah, for the last couple of years, I think Sean's kind of said if a guy's been there or not that's notable, and it'd give you a reason, okay, just so you know. But it's not like they go through a list like they do during regular season. This guy's limited. This guy's not here. But for the last couple of years, if I remember right, Sean has given a couple names. Hey, he's dealing with something. He's out personal. You won't see him out there. Just to kind of head it off at the pass so we don't go out there in the media like, where's this guy? I think James, everybody understands. Like, that's the, you know, for Sean McDermott's role, I think as head coach, he understands we're all going to be looking for that. And we're going to be asking him about it. So he's just going to come out and tell us right now, hey, he's not going to be out there today. But he also made sure to say, we're staying in contact. James will be here when he's ready to be here. I didn't think it sounded any different, Joe, than it has for the last month and a half, 2 months. You go back to the owners' meetings, combine, whatever, when you're talking about contract extension questions we've given Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, attendance questions, whatever it is, I don't think anything sounded different yesterday from Sean McDermott than what we've heard from McDermott and Bean for the last 2 months, which is, yep, he's under contract. He'll be here when he needs to be here. Mm-hmm. And right now he's not. So, hey, he's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say this yesterday specifically.
Sure.
But this is kind of how it sounded to me. And, okay, we're going to go out there. I think the other reason why I think Sean gave attendance yesterday, because I think he's really proud that everybody else is there.
Yeah.
Like, hey, everybody's right here, including, by the way, Josh Allen. I didn't think Josh would be there yesterday.
Yeah, no, I was thinking he probably wouldn't be there either, just because the wedding seemingly being this weekend,
right?
But he was.
Who knows if he's there today or tomorrow? We're not there for the media.
Right.
So it could very well be, hey, he showed up for a day or 2 days or whatever. Mm-hmm. He could be there all week. I don't know. He even showed up to his 117 holes for charity in the morning yesterday. I was told he played in the morning 12 holes. I got there at 4:30, 4:45 in the morning.
Yeah.
And he played 12 holes. Then he went to OTAs.
Yeah.
And he wasn't at the reception part last night. But, I mean, that just says a lot, I think, that Josh is still here doing that, goes to OTAs. But, yeah.
It is his event, and it's for a great cause. Josh Allen having to play 12 holes, though, doesn't sound like too much of a burden.
No, but
I understand.
I
know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yes, because he's there then at practice, and then the schedule's getting, you know, jam-packed together. But for Cook, I'm very curious to see how this goes just in now what the next steps are, because this is the last voluntary thing. Right? Like, once they get to mini camp.
This weekend, next week, yes.
This weekend, next week is voluntary.
3 days each.
And then we get to mandatory stuff.
Yeah.
And even, I do want to say, even if he's not there for mini camp, really, like, I feel like training camp is the big one. Because if he's not there for mini camp and that's mandatory, like, that will be a story. It'll still, to me, be, though, these are warning shots that, hey, I could hold out. I want a new deal. I am not happy with my current contract. No one has to guess about James Cook's motivation here or what his deal is. His deal is he's not happy with his current contract. It's written on his social media pages. Like, he's been very clear about that. Even if he hadn't said it, you probably could figure out, oh, he's a running back who is going to make $4 million this year, had 16 touchdowns last year, and does... Like, I understand where he would be coming from. I understand where the Bills are coming from, too, because, I mean, me personally, I would never want my team to operate paying running backs big contracts on their second deals. But I also do understand where James Cook is coming from. He plays a position that in the league will chew you up and spit you out. That position, man, you are one bad knee injury away from poof, there goes your big contract. The one big contract that you might earn in your career at that position, you're one bad injury away at all times at that position from losing it. And he's got a brother that played the position and has gone through all of this before. So, like, it's not surprising to me that Cook could push for this. I still don't know that he will, right? Like, I don't really feel like he's yet pushing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not ugly. No one would call it ugly. The guy's not at OTAs. So for me, like, in my personal opinion is I wouldn't necessarily want to see the Bills pay him $15 million a year, which is what he's asking for. And I also fully understand that he asked for it because of the position he plays and the season he just had.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's not for me. It more lies in the story is not necessarily that he's not at OTAs. The story really is more of the wondering and intrigue of what his plan is
right
now. We don't know as of right now if he'll be there in 2 weeks at mandatory minicamp. I think that's when it starts to become more of a story. If he misses mandatory minicamp, okay, he's not there. This is getting a little serious. It's still not training camp.
Yeah.
It's mandatory minicamp. It's the middle of June. Okay.
Yeah.
It's June 10, 11, 12. It becomes a little bigger story. To me, more than anything right now is, what kind of story do we have on our hands? Because we don't know what his plan is.
Mm-hmm.
Is his plan to not be at training camp? Is his plan to hold in at mandatory minicamp or at training camp? That's where this is for me, which is everybody wondering. Because no one knows what his plan is and what he's going to do.
Right.
And it's intriguing. It's interesting because we're trying to figure it out and we won't know until we get there.
Right. And... You know, like, maybe, because what's his goal here? His goal is to get paid. His goal is to get the contract that he wants. And anything that happens between now and the start of the year for James Cook will be, other than the normal and obvious work that he'll do, you know, in the workout room and on the practice field and film to get ready for the actual season, his other motivation is going to be, hey, how do I get that deal? How do I get that contract? And... I really wonder if he'll take it to this point or if he'll even just make the Bills call his bluff. I'm not playing football on this contract. He's not said that. Trey Hendrickson has said that. Like, guys have said that around the league, and they don't have to hold to it. But Cook has not said that. And you actually have Brandon Bean on the record earlier this month saying that he has no doubt that when it's time to play football, he'll be ready to roll. Speaking about James Cook, the GM is saying, I believe he'll play games. And has also been on the record saying things about how, you know, for him to earn a contract like that, like, he's kind of got to do it again. Like, we'd like to see him do it again. That's not his exact wording, but that's how Bean has sounded on the matter of James Cook's contract. Like, let's see you do it again. And that idea that, well, they believe he'll be out there, is Cook want them to think I won't? And that's maybe a good question. Not whether he actually even will hold out of games. I don't believe that he'll ever get to that point. But does James Cook want the Bills to believe that he'll miss?
Do you think he or his agent have communicated anything about his plans?
To the Bills themselves?
Yes.
That's a good question. I don't know, from a bargaining standpoint, what's better for you? Leaving them in the dark? Or I think probably leaving them in the dark would, right? If you told them you want a new deal, if you told them ahead of time, oh, I'll be there for training camp, or I'll be there week two of training camp. You know, like, you kind of lose all
your
leverage.
What about even mandatory minicamp? When Sean McDermott says we've been in contact, and he says he'll be here when he's ready to be here. Do you think there's been communication between Cook's side to the Bills' side to say, hey, he'll be there for mandatory minicamp, or just kind of leaving it open-ended?
I would bet they don't know. I would agree. I would bet they don't know if he'll be there for minicamp.
I would agree.
And because I just think if you're Cook and that's your plan is to get that deal, you're not telling them what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least when you're showing up. You're not telling them ahead of time. You want all the talk to be about contract. And any of this stuff would be a show of, I'm not happy. I'm not happy with my current deal. And there's going to be this cloud hanging over our heads until this is resolved. And sometimes you get to a year and the season starts and then it kind of goes away. That could happen here. And isn't that kind of your gut feeling of how it's going to go? Or do you think it'll happen? A deal will happen? Because Bean has sounded like they're not in a rush to do a deal right now or feel the need to do it before the season starts. So
I don't think a deal will happen simply from listening to how this has played out for the last 2 months. I mean, Brandon Bean basically said they were far apart, and that's why they pivoted to other guys to get their deals done. And judging by, like, when you say he wants 15, I mean, that's obviously the smoke that's out there for his tweets and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You never know. Maybe he's willing to kind of massage that. But if that's kind of even close to the number where he's landing, I think that's a tough sell.
Well, what's
for me to think there's going to be a deal done.
What's interesting there is if they weren't really that close and they moved on to other guys and his standpoint is $15 million, it's interesting to think about what the Bills' standpoint is, what their point of, you know, no return, not a point of no return, but what their position is. What their position is, because
how much do they value him at?
Yeah, and there's guaranteed money and how many years you get on a deal to, and all of that obviously is very impactful to a guy's contract as well. But if he's at 15, are you at 9? And that's the gulf that's needed for you to move on to other guys, and that's the gulf that's needed for there to be this idea that, yeah, we don't really think there's going to be a contract done this summer. Does it have to be that big?
Yeah.
If the Bills were at 12, I feel like they would still be. He might be there because they would think, okay, the deal is on its way to being done. We're only a couple of million dollars apart.
Yeah. The question of what constitutes far apart, what constitutes close.
Right.
If you're talking, there's a difference. If you're talking, okay, Josh Allen making $50 million a year, let's say. And if you're negotiating, like, well, we're offering 35, it's 50. That's pretty far apart.
That's a huge difference.
Right?
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
If you're 45 and 50, I think you're pretty close.
Yeah.
But if you're 10 and 15, you're not. There's the $5 million matters.
Right. That's 50% of your, it's 50% of your base salary per year.
I mean,
that's the difference.
For Brandon Bean to kind of put it that way a couple months ago,
yeah,
that's why I don't think that anything's going to get done anytime soon.
So you think your gut feeling is that he is going to play this year, but on that expiring contract? Is that your is that what you would guess right now?
It is my guess right now.
Yeah, I think I would probably say the same.
But I don't know what I struggle with is how does it start though? Does he start to play on it? Is he there on time? Does he miss any actual regular season games?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I...
Man, that would be... If he missed regular season games, I almost can't... I can't
guys have done it.
But guys have done it. When's the last guy that's done it, though? You see a lot more now.
Well, I mean, Hassan Reddick's missed a whole year last year.
That's true. Hassan Reddick has done... Actually, Hassan Reddick's done it a couple times, maybe. Didn't he do it 2 years ago also? You're right. Reddick did it. I'm thinking of like Jamar Chase's who have held in and made it very clear to the organization I'm not happy.
Le'Veon Bell.
They end up playing anyway. Le'Veon Bell said it a whole season.
I mean,
it's pretty wild.
Right. I don't think anything like that would happen, but.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably all or nothing. It's okay. He's like there early at camp or, okay, right. This is really going on for a while.
Right.
It's not in the middle, probably.
No, I would think it's probably not either. But. I think it's very, I could see Cook pushing the limits of it. I don't know that he'll miss games. I still feel like that is a pretty extreme place to take it, but guys have done it. But if you're James Cook and you got your brother in your ear and your agent and you just came off two back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons and you just came off a year with 16 touchdowns and you know, like one thing I want to get to is what really should he be worth? He's asking for $15 million a year. And to get into him as a player, there are arguments for and against him being worth that much money. There are only three running backs in the league that make $15 million per year. Per year is a pretty simplistic way to do it. It doesn't take in all the guarantees and everything. Ashton Jeanty actually is second in the league at running back in guaranteed money. Because he just got drafted so high, and I guess the Raiders fully guaranteed his contract. Do you know that? $35 million. That's happening a lot, I guess. But it's Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, and Derrick Henry.
And Henry's exactly at 15.
And he's exactly
at 15.
On his
new extension.
Right. Those are the only three running backs that are at $15 million per year. McCaffrey, Barkley, and Henry. Not in that order.
I mean, and if you're the Bills, are you... Think of the Bills side. If you're doing your evaluation of James Cook, you're going through, what do we value him at? Are you landing on that? I understand why the Bills probably wouldn't and say,
right.
We're not paying him one of those kinds of guys. You got to do comparables. So where do we value him based on where the league is?
Yeah.
Because that's how it's done and where other guys are. I mean, we could look at the list and say, where would he fall?
Yeah.
You have James Conner. You can get down to $10 million. Aaron Jones. Josh Jacobs is 12. Kamara is 12.2. I think you're probably looking lower than that. You're looking at the Joe Mixons and James Conners and David Montgomerys of the world who are below $10 million a year.
Yeah. 803-0550, the phone number. Let's squeak Butch in here before we get to a break. Butch on the East Side, what's up?
Good morning, my friends. I appreciate it. I love WGR. I love MSG. To the fans who listen and watch, Butch definitely loves you. I just want to get right on to it, what you guys are speaking about. It's the perfect storm. This is the perfect storm for James Cook's agent. It's the perfect storm for the Buffalo Bills, and I'm going to tell you why. The Buffalo Bills are going on hard knocks at training camp. Before this happened, we didn't know it was going to be on hard knocks. Before James Cook and all this financial situation happened, we didn't know nothing about this stuff. Now we're about to go on hard knocks. He could come in and don't even, like you say, he can hold in, hold out, whatever he can do. It's going to be a topic of hard knocks. At the same time, the whole NFL, the whole 31 other teams knows this guy is a top back. At the same time, Buffalo has three other backs. You know, we even got Frank Gore Jr. ready to ball. Brandon Bean knows exactly what is going on. This draft we just passed was weak. It wasn't a strong draft. Next year's draft is the strongest draft. Brandon Bean might play this guy out and say, listen, hey, if he signs somewhere else next year, so be it. We get a compensatory pick. Hope we got it. He was a second-round pick when we draft him. Hopefully we can get another two, and we just break even. But what's going to happen is this. This is me speaking now. I really believe this man is going to hold in. I believe he's going to hold in training camp. He's going to be the talk. It's going to be talking the whole hard knocks. It's going to follow James Cook. You're going to follow him walking around. You're going to follow him moping. I'm not saying moping. He might be on the treadmill, whatever he's going to do. But at the same time, during preseason, somebody's going to get hurt. Someone's going to call Brandon Bean, it's a possibility this man might get moved out of here by training camp, and Brandon Ewing might get his number two back and maybe another extra pick later on. But at the same time, for both sides of the fence, it's a win-win. And don't get me wrong, I would love James Cook. I would love him to get a deal. I would love him to be here with Josh Allen running that ball, running that rock. But at the same time, we got three other backs, and three other backs are ready to roll and rock. Matter of fact, if you add Evans in here, we got four other backs. But I'm just saying, is looking at this hard knock situation fires on James Cook's agent side, yeah, it's a perfect storm that he can do. But thanks so much for taking my call. We love you guys, man. And you guys take care of yourself.
Thanks.
And Sal, do me a favor. Kiss the queen and give my nephew a high five.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, Butch, for the call. I had not thought about the hard knocks component to it. I do not think the Bills would do anything differently because they're on hard knocks. But I also could see them wanting to, maybe it sparks an extra conversation that helps you towards a deal because, you know, whether they want to be on it or not in the first place, I'm sure they don't want HBO would want this. The viewer would want this. I'm sure the Bills don't want a massive part of the Hard Knocks story for them to be about James Cook not being there or being there and wanting a new contract.
No, I'm sure that's the case. Having Hard Knocks there already is a distraction in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This just adds a layer to it, meaning that this is something that you talk about instead of, in a lot of ways, maybe it takes the focus off some other things, I guess, that they could be focusing on. But you're right. I don't think that that's good for anyone. You do wonder what it looks like for James Cook and his side. Does his, from a PR standpoint, from Cook's PR standpoint, if you're his agent, do you want that? Do you want him being highlighted that he's not, if he holds in and they're following him around, he's not practicing?
Yeah.
Does that help his cause or hurt his cause with fan opinion, public opinion, or even teams around the league?
Yeah. And by the way, they would not get a second round pick in compensatory for Cook if he were to leave. Looking at that formula, I guess I didn't know that it was a combination of your average per year and also how many snaps you play, your snap percentage. Because that might ding Cook a little bit, because he plays less than 50% of the snaps for the Bills. A comparable for him might be Alvin Kamara. Kamara's at $12 million and plays, 55% of the snaps. If that's about what James Cook is, it's a fifth-round pick. Maybe you get up to a fourth in different circumstances. They're not getting a second. A second is almost unheard of. You can't get a second at all.
Third is the best you can get in compensatory picks.
Gotcha. Okay, so they're definitely not getting a second then in that. Every Mitch Marner conversation goes the exact same way. You bring him up and you go, man, it'd be great if the Sabres can get him. I hope they're in on it. Hope they could get him. And then somebody logically goes, yeah, he's never coming here. And then what is the counter every single time to, oh, he'll never come here? The counter 100% of the time is, well, he's a Bills fan. What if Josh Allen's in the meeting? What if we give him season tickets? That's always the counter. Always the counter. And I'm not saying that it's impossible as my... I love that we're on YouTube now. You can see when my chair sinks all the way to the bottom. I got it back. Anyways, he's a Bills fan. It's not impossible he could be curious about the idea of playing here if he's such a big Bills fan. He's been to games, of course. He loves Josh Allen. I don't think it will be at all the determining factor to where he plays. But okay. John Tavares is also a free agent. Leafs John Tavares. I mean, we did this with him when he left the New York Islanders, didn't we? Like, hey, his uncle is a legend here. Maybe he could put in a good word. He's 35 now, and he's still pretty good. He's not the player he once was, but he's still pretty good. Although I would imagine he's more likely to sign back with the Leafs than he would be here. By the way, he actually might be about as good as the player he once was, because he had the second most goals in his career last season. 38 goals, Tavares. I don't think he'll leave Toronto, though. He went home, He's from there. He'd probably be easier to sign than Marner, but I don't know.
Wasn't it wild that they, like, the day after they lost, were like, yeah, Tavares is back, it's fine.
Yeah.
That seems really fast to make like that call for them.
It was an automatic
for them. It was like locker room cleanout. He comes down there and he says, I just had a great conversation with Berube and Tree Living. I'm encouraged. I think I'm going to be back next year.
Yeah. Well, I do want to get some football, but while we're on this, because I am very interested in what happens to them and these players and them losing again, the Leafs. Tavares also sees a decline in the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, like Marner and Matthews, less so Nylander because he's kind of figured it out. But Matthews and Marner get a lot of heat for you're not as good in the postseason as you are in the regular season. But the savvy veteran that's been a star for a long time, he played his first playoff games 13 years ago.
Yeah.
For the Islanders.
He's been to a final. Right, like all that stuff is.
Oh, he hasn't been to a
or
final.
Not final, a conference final, and
he doesn't produce. He's got, you know, his 82 game average in the postseason is 58 points.
Yeah, you need more out of conversation with all of those guys is essentially the same, aside from, like you said, Nylander's kind of gotten there.
He's done a lot better, but Tavares becomes Casey Mittelstadt in the playoffs.
Right. He turns into like kind of an okay guy that can't really skate. Like,
right.
You notice him being bad in the playoffs more, I think, because of the speed of the playoffs.
I read, and this can be, there's a connection point here to the Sabres and like what they should do, how they should act. I read a great piece from Travis Yost over the weekend about the Leafs faltering in the playoffs again. And a critical reason for that that doesn't often get mentioned. Because when you think of the Leafs over 10 years failing in the playoffs, what do you think of? You think of, wow, they're soft, right?
Yeah.
They're small and they're soft and they're skilled. And for many of those years, I don't think this year this is true of, but for many of those years, they're not that good defensively. They're not that good in net. You know, like these things you need to win in the playoffs. And what Travis broke down is don't just stare at all the other stuff. Look at what they become offensively, and even more specifically what they become on the power play.
Yeah. It's No team
sees a bigger decline from, this is over that decade, no team in the league sees a bigger decline from regular season to postseason on the power play than the Toronto Maple Leafs do.
Yeah.
It goes into a shell of itself.
It's such an interesting team because it's so consistent. There's such a huge sample size. How rare is it to see this many years of the same group like that?
Mm-hmm.
Go do the same thing. Like, there are often teams in sports where you go, this is the story about this team, but really it probably only happened a couple times, right? The Leafs, it's been 8 years of them doing the same thing in the playoffs. So it's not they got unlucky this time. Like, you can't explain any of it away now. It's too many repeat offenses. So it is some systematic shortcoming or some roster construction issue. And I think a lot of it stems from they wanted to change the game fundamentally from, you know, big, heavy, hard, everything's kind of slow lumbering in the playoffs. They were like, no, we're gonna go and we're gonna be small and fast and we're gonna score more than everybody. And it works great when you're playing 30% of your games against teams like, you know, Buffalo or Anaheim or teams that can't compete on that level in terms of skill and offensive output. But once you run into some teams that know how to combat that and know how to play that heavy lumbering style that they tried to get away from that stops the Maple Leafs' high-octane sort of vibe, that's where they run into problems, and that's why it's been so consistent, is they stuck with that philosophy. And this year felt like the first year they really tried to get away from that while still not entirely moving off of it with the core four, with Marner, with Matthews, with
those guys. That's where there is some overlap here because it's not just defense and hitting and scrums after whistles. A lot, I feel like what the Panthers are kind of proving right now to an extent is that heavy style that they play. Sure, there's a mental warfare where you're the Hurricanes and you know every whistle you're just going to get bullied. You know, like they are just going to be, they're going to lean on you and they are going to get into it with you after every whistle and it's just going to exhaust you, this team. Because the Panthers just go line after line after line where they're so good on the ice and then they just want to beat the snot out of you after too. And they will. But another thing that makes the Panthers so good and valuable, you know, like the Matthew Tkachuk trade gets so much credit for turning that organization around into what they've been, where they're going to go to their third straight finals in a row. Yep. But don't forget they also traded for Sam Reinhart that offseason.
Yeah.
And Sam Reinhart, you know, say what you will about him as a Sabre. He was a very good Buffalo Sabre. He has become one of the premier power play players in the league since he got to Florida. And that's really where I'm thinking about the Panthers recently and the Leafs. And to make a connection to the Sabres on this, this was part of Travis's thesis in his article, is that there is a stronger, he's not alone in this, there are others, that maybe more than ever, there's a strong connection between how good is your power play and how much do you win.
Yep.
Because the Panthers, for all that, they're not winning 2-1 in all these games.
They're
some of them
smoking teams.
They have scored 5 or more goals 8 times in these playoffs.
Right.
Like a lot of their physicality and they're so big and they have all these power forwards, is it allows them to produce offensively in the playoffs as much as it shuts teams down.
It creates space for you.
Right.
For those players to do what they do. For a Sam Reinhart.
And their power play is awesome.
Exactly.
And always has been.
Make you pay when you take a retaliatory penalty against Matthew Tkachuk because he's making your head fly off your shoulders.
Yep.
You go slash him, and then they're on the power play, and then they score, and then Tkachuk's laughing at you from the bench. And I think that contributes mentally to the way that they dominate teams, is you go, not only are we getting hammered by these guys, every play on the wall, we're getting drilled, the forecheck, we can't get the puck out of our own zone. Even when we try and match their intensity and physicality level, A, we can't do it. B, when we do and we try and send a message with a penalty, oh, now you send out Sasha Barkov and Sam Reinhart to eat you alive. And that can be a daunting task for a team to look at and go, this is what we've got to do. There's a tight window for how we can beat this team.
Mm-hmm.
And one misstep, they'll make you pay in wherever you take one because they can do it anywhere. They don't let you score. They're going to keep you from getting anywhere near their net.
Yep.
You take a penalty, they'll make you pay. You want to play a 1-1 game, they'll do that. They can do anything. That team is incredible.
I hate to be a victim of recency bias, but I do feel like they're the most complete team I've ever seen. I don't want to say they're the best team I've ever seen, but where they have three lines deep that can score. I mean, that third line with Lundell and Marchand, and then the blue line, Nico Mikkola might be, him and Forsling might be their best two defensemen, and they're like their fourth and fifth most famous defensemen.
Exactly.
And then Bobrovsky in goal. They have the star goalie.
And he's playing the best of his career, maybe,
right now. They really aren't missing anything. And that's not, you know, like when the Penguins win their cups, that's a great team, but no one would say they're six deep on the blue line.
Right.
No one would say they're
Letang
this physical.
Was doing it all.
Yeah, he was playing 30 minutes a night in some of those games.
Same with Tampa when they went on their runs. Like,
right.
They had good D. Sergachev was awesome. Hedman was great. They didn't have.
Yeah.
I don't know that they had a Mikkola.
They might be the closest.
They were definitely, as to me, in my mind, as close as it gets.
Right.
No, nobody's been that dominant to where, like, Florida is just steamrolling teams.
And complete doesn't mean best, although it might be, you know.
You could argue it.
If they win the cup this year. And they've made it 3 years in a row. I mean, you have the makings of one of the all-time teams. Now, I want to connect all this, though, to the Sabres a bit, because especially on Travis's thought about power play and the connection point between how much you win, not just in the – because in the playoffs, you almost could make the argument it's more important in the playoffs because you get so few opportunities. Because penalties aren't called all the time. When you get them, you got to score on them.
Yeah, special teams in the playoffs becomes paramount.
Right. It becomes more important. In the regular season, I mean, his idea and others that power play might mean more to winning than you think. The Sabres are a great example of that. I mean, looking back on their last couple of years, 24th in the league in power play this year, or this past season, 29th the year before, 9th the year before that. Doesn't that kind of sound about how those seasons went?
Right. It's all connected.
And for 2 years now, they haven't been able to figure it out. So I don't think they're getting Mitch Marner. But when I think about ways that they could break the drought without spending to the cap, because I don't really expect them to do that, without getting Mitch Marner, because I don't really expect them to do that, without going out and getting a star goaltender, because I think they could use that, I don't expect them to do it. All these things that I think could help you get there, I don't expect. But one area, if you're just looking for, all right, if they can do it without, you know, with these shortcomings that we think they have, how could it happen? It's that. They have a year, maybe even the personnel isn't totally different, but somehow they find their way to a top 10, even top 5 power play. But I think you're going to need one of two things to happen for that. You're going to have to go make a savvy investment somewhere in a player that's going to make that pop, or somebody on your team's going to have to get 10 times better at it. Paterka, for years now, has been a great 5-on-5 player, and then it
goes away.
It hasn't converted on the power play.
He gets too much time, and I think he just gets a little excited about making a fancier play, and it hasn't worked for him.
So maybe he's the guy that has a giant step to take on that unit, but
how big of a role does coaching have to play in this? Like I
probably a lot.
I think it's pretty significant. The way that teams operate on the power play is always evolving in the NHL at the NHL level. It's always evolving at the level that I coach at. So I know there's always things you can be doing to try and manufacture opportunities for your players that doesn't solely rely on them making a play.
Mm-hmm.
You can draw up a strategic plan of action to draw a player here, kick a puck up. Like, there are ways to manufacture looks in the NHL. It is done every game. You watch good power plays do it. Face-off plays are a huge part of the game that people don't entirely realize. And I think that there's a little bit of that missing from the Sabres, and that can really play a role in that too. I think you've got to know your strength, and you've got the talent to have a top-tier power play in the league. You have the defenseman to run it. You got two defensemen to run it if you want. You got three. Like,
yeah,
you should be cruising on that unit, and that's, you haven't been.
That's one other thing. You mentioned the three defensemen. There's one other thing I want to touch on real quick before we come up on a break and get to Steven Ellis. We'll talk some more hockey with him, then get back to football. Byram is a player that I believe is talented enough to play on a power play. But here, there just isn't really a need for it.
You just don't. Yeah, you don't have the room.
So when I'm on vacation and I see, like, the least surprising headline I saw while I was away was Friedman saying the Sabres are gauging interest on the trade market for Bo Byram. Just everything is pointed to that, you know, either he doesn't want to be here, or even more so, it's been more about his role, I think.
That's the story.
He's coming up on a big contract, and in hockey, you're a defenseman. You want to make $8, $9 million a year. You got to have the points to match it. And Bo Byram, he was 15th in the NHL among defensemen in 5-on-5 points. So he did it in the minutes he played, but why does he end the season with 38 points instead of 58 points? Because he doesn't play on the power play.
Right.
So for me, I almost want to say I would be stunned if he played another game in a Buffalo Sabre uniform.
I agree with that. I think it makes too much sense for them to try and get an asset in an area that they actually have a need. Whereas this is a position of, not, I wouldn't even say strength. It's an overflow of what you have in that archetype of defenseman. Puck mover, power play, not necessarily you know, Dahlin does it, is more of a unique player, but Power, I think, is similar in that they're not going to do a lot of for you on your back end, but they will bring some points for your team. You'll get a couple goals out of those guys. And I think it's redundant to have Power, Dahlin, and Byram on this team when you could probably get a pretty decent asset for a defenseman like Byram from a team that really needs that guy. Like, Edmonton always pops into my head for him.
Edmonton's a good one. I saw the Rangers were a team. Maybe Boston is another one. I don't know if you want to, I don't care about trading him in the division, but the Bruins could use a guy like that. I do see value in him. Like, I think he's a good player.
I do too. I just don't think that it's
you might be a little reliant though on your best defenseman. Right. And there's even value in that. Like, if you told me, well, this guy, when he plays with Dahlin, you're going to get awesome results, I would say, well, I probably would get that with a few people, maybe a lot. But I don't want to just throw out the stat that I saw this weekend that the two defense pairings in the National Hockey League that were tied for the best goal differential in the league at plus 20 were Cale Makar and Devin Toews and Dahlin and Byram. Tied for the best goal differential of any defense pair in the league. I would see value in him playing with Dahlin.
There is, absolutely something to be said for that ability.
But what would you rather have right now? What's more important? What's more critical to place your value in? Dahlin's partner or Power's partner? Because I have more evidence that Dahlin can play with almost anybody.
Right.
And Power,
it's gotta be Power.
You'd like to see Power play with a great partner.
100%.
So I'm not saying you could just flip one for one, but you trade Byram for some stuff over here, and then you flip something else to get a different type of guy over there. I don't think he's a bad player. I think there's value in having him, but I just think the writing's on the wall that it just kind of makes sense for everybody that a trade happened this offseason.
Right. It's the same reason he left Colorado. He was behind Makar, couldn't play on the power play. Let me get somewhere where I might have a chance to. And now he's in Buffalo and he's got the same situation.
So, two guys even.
Right. So. Why wouldn't he want to try and find his spot, find his home?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It is concerning, you know, durability, availability are key ties to our roster. And so we basically look ahead in terms of what he's doing now, which is getting himself the treatment that he needs, and he's working hard at it. And that's all that he can control right now. And, you know, we get him back when we get him back, probably at this point, training camp. So, you know, we're going to do the best job we can, and I know he is as well, and just take it one day at a time.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. The Bills opening up OTAs yesterday. McDermott meeting with the media. Sal Capaccio was on hand. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning again. Yesterday was pretty nice all the way through. And I believe today we're headed for a little bit of rain, but not until a little bit later on. So
here we go again.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Now, have you... Are you like me? Do you? But I bring up the weather app a lot to look at what's it like a week from now, so I can feel better about myself if it's going on like this now.
I will do that only if the weather and the short term is not great.
Right.
Like if I know it's going to rain today and tomorrow,
yeah.
Then yes, then I will. Like, let me scroll down a little bit and go, oh, next week it's going to be, oh, look at that, 67 and sunny, 71 and
have
sunny.
Have you done that recently?
I just did that right now, but not before that. No,
mm-hmm.
I hadn't.
It's looking good.
You had looked?
I have. I mean, yeah. So we should I show? Look at
just give me those sun emojis.
Should I show the bullpen? My phone there. There you go, bullpen. Nick, you can see it. I don't know if you can see it.
Woo.
Look at that.
We got warm.
See, that's
too.
The advantage of watching on YouTube. You get to look at Sal's cell phone with the weather app and the bullpen. Now,
yeah.
I will tell you, my buddy Patrick Hammer says don't use that app. That's the Weather Channel.
I was going to say.
I know. So sorry, Pat, but it's just my default. I go there all the time. Sorry, buddy. But
yes.
I should use. I want to be equal opportunity for all the different friends I have in the business. So I just go there instead of saying I chose 247 or Spectrum or whatever.
Yeah. So Joey Bosa. So McDermott updating everybody on Bosa there. A little bit of newsy update from McDermott that Bosa injured his calf last week and he's not there at OTAs, which, man, Salik, there already is a question and a concern about his availability problems that he had with the Chargers. I mean, it is the reason he only gets a one-year contract in free agency. And they're not even on the field for things yet, and there's already something that's popped up.
Yeah.
Now, McDermott said, how did he phrase it? It was for the foreseeable spring that he'll be out?
So basically, yeah. However he phrased it, what he said was, the rest of this offseason program, foreseeable spring, offseason program. So, in part of the reason is because he did say it happened recently, so they are still in an exploratory mode, which gets you a little bit more, oh my gosh, like what else could it be? But, Joe, you know Sean McDermott well enough by now.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't kind of put a bit of a definitive timeline on it,
right?
Unless he's really confident about that.
But he
doesn't do that.
He also did give a little bit of a sign, I guess, by the exploratory part of it, and he mentions training camp that there's at least a chance, isn't there, that he's out until, what, the start of training camp?
And I think
like
that's
it
what
it's not a short term.
You mean thing. Into training camp? Into training camp because
into training camp it being even a question. Maybe I wonder if it's he's on the field,
right?
And they're it's something that they're managing already.
Oh, 100%. I think that's open for sure. The way he made it sound yesterday, what I took of it was he's not there this week. He's not on the field this week, next week, or mandatory minicamp. Once we hit training camp, he should be on the field. But I agree with you that doesn't have to be true. Like, you could get to training camp and they say, hey, we're holding back on him as he gets treatment or something.
Or he's on the field one day and he's not on the field the next day because they're already...
Yes.
They gotta be careful with the guy. If it's already popping up as a problem, you know, you were looking this up in the break. He's missed like half the games that he's been eligible for in the last couple of seasons with the Chargers.
28. He's played 28 of a possible 51 games.
Okay, so that's a little over 50% that he's played.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not great. How do you feel like? Because here's one injury that's already popped up for Bosa. How do you feel like the Bills are at the position without him? They have him. He's not out for the year or anything, but if the season begins and it becomes evident that, you know, it almost maybe looks like Curtis Samuel's season last year, where he pops in and he has these games where he makes an impact, and Samuel finished strong last year, right? Like, he played well in the playoffs, so he eventually gets there. But a lot of the year, it was, he's on the injury report, he's not playing in this game, and you couldn't necessarily count on him down-to-down, game-to-game, quarter-to-quarter. If that becomes Bosa's season, how do you feel like they are at that position to withstand that?
This is a two-part question. It's a different question for the season versus the first 6 weeks because they don't have Michael Hoyt.
Right.
And Larry Ogunjobi, even though he's a defensive tackle. But, Joe, I mean, they signed every one of their defensive line free agent signings is out right now in some capacity. Two guys are out for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy is out now, and we don't know what his status is come training camp. That's not good. If you're talking right now, I mean, they're okay. I don't know. They're what they have been, which is, can you get to the quarterback and cause some disruption? And that's going to be a big question mark. If you're talking the first 6 weeks of the year, I guess the same thing, but I don't know what Joey Bosa's status is.
That's right. And if Bosa is unavailable to them or they have to really manage it in the first 6 weeks, I guess really what they would be in the first 6 weeks until Michael Hoyt comes back would be the same as last year with Landon Jackson.
And without Von Miller.
And without Von Miller, who we've pointed out, like a lot of the pressure numbers last year, he was the Bills' most efficient pass rusher, and he's not there. He's still available, by the way. Not to say that they would bring him back.
Right. Right.
But he is still out there.
Yeah.
So it's obviously not good for Bosa because he is – how much weight is on his shoulders for this? I mean, the additions on the defensive line were more in volume. You know, they added a ton. They drafted a lot of it. They signed a lot of it. Bosa's name, though, is at the top of the list. He is the Pro Bowler. He is the high draft pick. He is the name power that the Bills brought in. He got a sizable contract, even, from the Bills.
Over $12 million, $12 million guaranteed.
Right. So maybe, like, in comparison to his position and his peers, you know, it's kind of a prove-it deal. You know, the top edge rushers will get triple that. The top guys in the league. But it's not nothing. And a lot of that money was guaranteed. So his name being at the top of the list and having this injury problem that already is popping up. I mean, I guess I would just say it this way. I'm not as worried about the beginning of the season because a lot of my thinking about the Bills is how are you going to do in January?
Sure. And I think that's fair. And listen, this is a player where...
And we're so far away from January.
What were the comments yesterday after this happened? Obviously, there was the, oh my God, he's always injured.
Right.
And there were quite a few people who, I understand the sentiment, said, who cares, put him in bubble wrap till January.
Right.
Right? Like, does this really matter if this guy doesn't play that much until then? Yes, I think it does matter a little bit. But the point you're making is right, which is you kind of signed him to be available in January.
Right.
And You know that he's had an injury history. Manage as much as you can. So does this change much of that thinking? I don't know if it does. The only way it really would change it, honestly, is if he does have some sort of issue at training camp and it does bleed into the season. Otherwise, okay, well, he's a veteran and we're going to load manage him anyway.
We want to make great decisions on and off the field. And we're hoping that with our time here on the field today, and that when we don't have a script and we're on the call-up periods, that we're making great decisions. And so the message will be the same for all our players, that we're trying to make great decisions. And any conversations that I've had with Stefan will remain between him and I and the club.
According to a video, everything
that we're going to do, Karen, is we're going to coach the guys that show up at 8. And the ones that say, hey, I got a situation, we'll be here at 8:05. We'll coach those as well. This is a voluntary part of our off-season program. Every player that's not here, which there aren't many, have been in communication with me and their position coaches.
Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel does not sound thrilled about what his top receiver has maybe been up to in the last couple of days, or how it's gone. Maybe just that he's on video. Good morning. Stopped raining, at least. Jody Biasi, Sal Capaccio, Jeremy White is off for the rest of the week. So if you didn't see it, it was, you know, circulating through social media yesterday. The Patriots, with their OTAs, and as you heard Vrabel mention, they only had a couple of guys that weren't there at OTAs. And one of them was Stephon Diggs, who, before we get to the boat part of it, if I remember right, Sal, Diggs very rarely came to Bills OTAs, right?
I don't know about very rarely. I don't remember. It was mandatory minicamp when he got sent home, and he had that whole
fiasco.
So he wasn't here that year, and I don't think the year before that. Maybe the first 2 years he might have been.
Okay.
The first year he signed was COVID. So there was no OTAs was like no, we know it now.
Okay.
But he worked out with Josh in Florida. There was a lot of videos of the team getting together.
That's right.
Right, for some workouts.
Yeah.
And I think he might have been here the next year for most of it, if I remember correctly. I'm not positive.
Okay, so maybe it was
And then maybe it was the last 2 years where he wasn't.
Okay. So he's not there, though, for New England. And might be worth mentioning that I'm not sure I'm pretty sure he would not have been on the field doing team drills or anything anyway, because he's coming back from the torn ACL. Like, I know he's doing well in his recovery. I can't imagine he's doing that well in his recovery, or maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Vrabel was asked about that later.
Yeah.
Because he said he was here last week, right? Like, he was there already.
Okay.
He had showed up last week, apparently.
Yeah.
And he's not there this week, and you have the video. And Vrabel was asked about how he looks, and he's like, he doesn't really get into it. I don't know how much he did or didn't do the previous week.
Yeah.
He might be on the field doing work. I'm not really sure. We could find that. Maybe someone knows, but he was there. You're right. I mean, he's still recovering. There's a question about that, but he was there last week, apparently.
Okay. So there is that. And for rehab purposes, you might want the guy in the room anyway, bonding with your new quarterback who's young and trying to take a next step.
Sure.
So if you didn't see it, then there's this video with him and his, I believe, girlfriend now, the official, him and Cardi B. They're on a boat, and there are other women. I mean, how many people are on this boat?
Oh, there's
like 200 people are on this boat.
Well, I mean, the clips that I saw, there were about 20 people partying.
Yes, in the bay in Miami.
Right, with bikinis and, you know, shirts off and all that. It was
music pumping.
Looked like a club, you know? It was happening.
It looked like a club. You also might have seen, if you're watching the video, the presence of some drugs, which we don't know exactly what it was. You hear something in the video, too, that indicates that that could have been what it was.
Because what does he say? Or what does someone say? What do you mean?
I want to listen. Like, when I heard it was him saying, don't take too much.
Okay, so I will tell you, most in this business, like, I always try to not step in it, right?
Sure. Yeah.
We all do.
Sure.
It's easy to do. I have heard a lot of stuff about this over the last 12 to 15, 16 hours since I started seeing this stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest. I'm like super uncomfortable talking about like what I see or don't see.
Sure.
Because I don't know what
we don't
to me.
Because
it, like,
we don't know.
We don't know. And I don't know. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to make an accusation that's not correct.
Sure.
But at the same time, you literally have reporters asking Mike Vrabel about a substance on the boat, right? Like, there's a space for it. I don't know what that space is and how I want to talk about it. If you have, we should play you the clip from EEI in Boston. I'll find it and I'll send it to Josh maybe.
Okay.
The hosts on EEI, I mean, they went full in on this.
I'm sure that's all they were talking
about.
They
went full in on this and talking about pink cocaine and 2C and all this. Like, it's
EEI willing to step in it? What do you mean?
Right, exactly, right? So,
no, not like
I mean,
that.
Hey, sorry. I don't know, like, the correct way to navigate to talk about this because I don't know what it is. I was reading, I was laughing, actually, at some of the comments.
Sure, yeah.
On the video because, like, one said, who said a guy can't have Big League Chew these days? Right? Like, you're looking at the, it's pink. Like, there's just, it's funny. And I'm like, I don't know what to think now about this.
That is a good comment.
Right.
Was that in the chat? Could we give points for that, Owen? It wasn't in our chat.
It was the comments under the video.
Okay.
At the very least,
the way to talk about it, because same with me, like, I don't really know where to take it from. Like, I'm not trying to have a conversation about whether he should be suspended. I mean, you could have that if that's what that stuff is. I'm sure Roger Goodell isn't going to appreciate, you know, even the implication that one of the players in the league is just out there on video, just in the middle of the summer, you know, with coke, if that's what it was, on a boat. Vrabel, I'm sure, definitely doesn't appreciate it. I'm sure he doesn't want to be being asked about it at OTAs. The way to talk about it might be, in a more generic sense, that this is a player that there was drama with, right or wrong, there was drama with the Bills in the final months and year of his career, and there really wasn't any in Houston, right? Like, nothing that I remember from his last year playing for the Texans that was anything like this. Or anything like that happened maybe in the final year where you're wondering about how happy he is with the Bills. But you already got it in New England. And Vrabel is a very no-nonsense coach. He's trying to establish a culture. He's got a young quarterback that he's trying to mold, I'm sure, and is going
he
to only want...
He said, we want to make great decisions on the field and off the field.
Right.
Went right to it.
And he's going to want positive influences around Drake May, so... I don't know. Like, does this make a Bills fan smile today? That he is already causing distractions in New England?
Oh, I've seen plenty of that already. Yeah, for sure.
So almost maybe like this is maybe a good question. Some fans might be happy he's there. Is that too far? He's still a good player. I mean, we got to see what he looks like when he comes back from the knee. I think he's still going to be a very good slot receiver in the league. I think his days as an outside perimeter number one are long gone. But I think he's going to be a good slot receiver for that team. But if you think that this is not a one-off, that he's going to cause distractions in New England, and they've got a young, moldable quarterback that's really talented, shouldn't some Bills fans, being consistent, think, oh, I actually like that he's in New England. I prefer that he's with the Patriots doing this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots
and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Saber question for you. So
yeah,
we're a month away from free agency, give or take. Sabres have a couple of RFAs. There's been, you know, as there is every year, there's a little offer sheet chatter, and the Sabres are written about as maybe a potential target because of just, you know, how they operate financially at times and the level of player that they have that are coming up as RFAs. J.J. Paterka is the number one trade bait listed player at Daily Faceoff for their trade board for the offseason. And what's written is from Frank Saravelli, who, by the way, like, if you remember on deadline night, if you were on Twitter
right
the night before the deadline, it wasn't even just Frank Saravelli. You had two very plugged-in insiders, not like Elliot Friedman, who's like the big one, but Frank Saravelli from Daily Faceoff and Renaud Lavoie from TVA in Canada. To big national insiders who work for different outlets, tweeted within 2 minutes of each other that Paterka to the Rangers was happening. And then that ended up not being true. And the Sabres said that it wasn't true, and you had a couple other people said that it wasn't true. But both of those guys got that from somewhere. And the smoke has kind of continued about, like, okay, does he want to sign a long-term deal? Whatever. And Frank wrote on that trade bait article about him that Paterka is a candidate to be offer sheeted this year by other teams. So let's say that happens. Sal, if J.J. Paterka got offer sheeted, let's say 4 years, $10 million per year. That would be two firsts, a second, and a third in compensation if you let him walk. What would you do?
Sign him.
You'd match it.
Yep.
Because you don't want draft picks and you're okay with the money?
I don't care about the draft picks right now. And even if I think it's a slight overpay, I don't care right now. I have the money and I'm tired of this is a good player. You've developed him. His game is starting to come around as a more well-rounded game over the last year or so. I think that he's worked well with Lindy. I could see him getting even better. I don't need the draft picks anymore. This is why I want to trade the pick they have currently anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing with more draft picks?
Right.
This the draft pick part of it, I don't need. I don't care. And then you really just comes down to what the money is. Are you talking $15 million a year? No.
No.
If it's $10 million a year, yes, I get it. Like, you're still paying. It's a high price. The cap is going way up in the NHL over the next couple of years. By the time you get 2-3 years down the road, I think that could be what you're looking at anyway for JJ Paterka.
I do think it's like, it's probably an overpay of about, you know, if you're trying to really evaluate what he's worth, it's probably $2 to $2.5 million per year more than you would think he should get. Like 7.5 to 8, I think, feels right for him with the cap going up. And the cap going up to about $95 million, which is a pretty significant jump. So yeah. $10 million this coming year is almost, you know, it's the new $9 million, maybe. I am with you. So I was talking with Owen in the break about this. We disagree because I'm with you, Sal. It's an overpay, but I am just not interested in the compensation. Like depending on who the team would be, I would imagine a team doing that is probably pretty competitive. Two potentially late first-round picks. The second and the third don't even mean anything to me. Like, those picks are so... I know Paterka was a second, but the hit rate on those picks is so low that I almost don't even care about them. I wouldn't trade Paterka for two first-round picks right now. Like, I wouldn't do it. Now, Owen, you kind of feel like, though, the money is a little bit of your sticking point?
Yeah, I think that that's a... It's a steep contract for Paterka. To me, like,
it is.
He's a good player. I'm very high on him. I have been since they drafted him. I think he's awesome. I think he could be on a Tage Thompson level of explosiveness in terms of offensive output.
Mm-hmm.
I just $10 million, even with the cap going up, like we talked about in the break. Like, you got room. You can do it. But if we're talking about $2.5 million more than you probably should be paying him.
Mm-hmm.
What are you giving up on the roster? Like, $2.5 million is a lot of money in the NHL.
Are you giving up anything on this roster, considering that you're very low to the salary cap, you know, where you are right now?
Well, I think your question is, what's your individual sort of stance on that in terms of the team? Like, are you willing to pay Paterka $2.5 million more and not that
use
concession
somewhere else? Well, and that's where you get into, like, what would you do versus what are you predicting the Sabres would do? Because I don't know what their cap will look like this year. I think it is absolutely right to believe that they are not going to be a team that spends to the cap because of some of their actions in the last 5 years. You absolutely could believe that. It is worth pointing out, though, and I don't think this will happen because I don't think Bo Byram is signing an extension with this team.
No,
I don't think they want to sign an extension with him long term. So I don't think Byram is getting signed. But if you include Byram and Paterka and McLeod and even Levi for a little bit and Quinn, that's not going to be much either. But if they just sign all their RFA sale, they actually will be right up against the cap. But again, that's including Byram. And I don't think they're about to give Bo. I don't think there's a scenario where he's getting $6.5 to $8 million. So that there's your room right there. There's your $6, $7, $8 million of room that you can do with stuff.
There goes stuff if you sign Paterka to that kind of deal,
well, now it's $5 million.
Now right, and then what are you doing? Are you going to spend that $5 million? I hope so.
And that's where I think it's right to be skeptical of that.
Right. And
all right, so I have 3 points on this very quickly. Number one,
okay.
I will even admit and say that, like, this is a departure of how I believe, and I will tell you that teams normally operate, which is, look, if you have a value on JJ Paterka of 7.5, well, you can't go to 10, right? Like, that's how teams, this is the James Cook discussion. And people say, what's the difference? He wants 15, just give him, you know, give him 15 if you think he's worth 12. Well, there is a big difference. That's the value you have on him. That's a lot of money. So even the way I talk, like, I'm saying, I don't care if they overpay him. Whereas I generally would say, like, you should care about that. But I do think you have to project out at his age. There's a difference between a guy like James Cook, his age, his position in that sport, versus J.J. Paterka and where he could go. And what you're looking at, that contract might be 2 years from now, right? And saying, okay, I think that's worth it 2 years from now. Number two, tell me what team is giving him that offer, Joe. Because here, I just throw out a team you think it could be. Could it be the Rangers?
Rangers are the first team that comes to mind because that was the team mentioned with him. And they are – Drury, I think, is going to be acting in desperation this offseason. Like his job is on the line. But go ahead.
All right, well, I mean, if you say the Rangers – now, I'm not saying everything the Rangers does is, like, obviously right or correct or you should operate because they feel that way.
Sure.
But obviously there'd be a team out there willing to give J.J. Paterka that kind of contract. Somebody values him like that. And, like, to me, that should speak something to you about that in that scenario.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's where offer sheets are a different animal, and it's maybe part of the reason you see so few of them. Although, we have seen a couple more. Like, there were two last year. Mm-hmm. Remember the Blues went after...
Same team, yeah.
Same team. Against they went after the Oilers.
Both Oilers. And then, finally, I would say, honestly, like, money aside, compensation aside, if you just told me, hey... list like the top guys on the Sabres that you'd be unwilling to trade. And I'm not saying you wouldn't trade him for anything. I'm just saying the most unwilling to trade.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put Rasmus Dahlin, Tage Thompson, J.J. Paterka, maybe in that order.
And he would be third. I would probably agree with that. He is not, to me, though, the same as Thompson and Dahlin. Like Thompson, no. I think there is a line there where... And part of that is because though it's different, and I know you know this, that... Tage and Dahlin are under contract. You know, like, there's nothing really to figure out there. It's just, do you want them on your team or not? And with those two, it's an obvious yes. Paterka, I think it's also a yes. Like, you want him on your team. He's a great player, especially 5-on-5. Yeah. Some of his 5-on-5 numbers the last 2 years are some of the best in hockey offensively.
Yeah, he's a monster 5-on-5.
But you have this question about, you know, will he sign a long-term deal with you? And that's where we can't know that because we're not in those meetings. We're not talking to the agent on a day-to-day basis. Is the smoke about him and the Sabres where, like, okay, maybe he'd sign a 2-year deal, but are you getting him on a 7-year deal? If you told me today he would sign a 7-year deal with me, I'm not talking to any other team. I'm just signing him.
Yes, 100%. And that's, I think, where a little bit of my hesitation comes with this just real quickly is if I'm paying him $10 million, I want that for as long as I can get it.
Right.
Because like Sal, you said, you're thinking about potential, but we're talking about a 4-year offer sheet here where he could be just sort of hitting that stride on that fourth year and then you're losing him.
Yeah. See, but that I'm okay with because 4 years is long enough for me. I know the point you're making.
You'd figure it out by then, right?
Yeah,
right.
You'd figure it out by then. The other part of my point that I was going to mention is like, I don't know that I can get him on that 7-year deal. If right now, it doesn't even have to mean he's telling you, oh, I want to be traded. It's just, yeah, I'm thinking more of like a bridge deal. If there's any hesitation towards this guy wanting to be around long term, or maybe he wants to play it out and see, listen, this team has not earned the right, I think, for anybody to be safe. That's where I would want to, what I want to say next. I think Tage and Dahlin would be because they're that good. But... and they're under contract. Anybody else that I've got any questions about, I would listen to anything. And that would include Paterka. I'd have to be blown away, probably, but you know, there's a chance you could be blown away. He's a 23-year-old player that scores at the level if he does. Like, there would be a ton of teams that would be, I think, very aggressive towards wanting him.
I mean, that should tell you something, right?
Yes.
There's a ton of teams aggressive towards wanting him, and those teams are probably going to be some of the better teams in the league, or teams that at least have talent better than the Sabres that are competing. That should tell you something.
Which is why I'm a no on the offer sheet compensation, because I don't want draft picks. If it would have to be a hockey trade, and they've made two of those, because I'm not listening unless you're giving me something that I think is also really good, but maybe is going to be just a different type of fit. Like, if you told me I could get a player near Paterka's value and skill, but he's a bigger player, and maybe he's not quite as good offensively, but he's still good offensively. He's a little better defensively. Paterka's lacking that. That's the only thing I would listen to with him, even if I knew he's not signing a long-term deal this summer. So, complicated player and situation right now, depending on what his motivations are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.